We haven't done a show together in a while.
It's been a while.
It has been.
You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
You know, if I didn't know any better, and I probably don't, I would say that there's at least a slight chance that the Lord is telling me to hold off on this. Not only is the internet connection apparently bad and not able to play that intro video properly, of course, I was joined by my co-host this morning, who's really getting, or this afternoon, this evening, wow, it's late, who's really getting a kick out of seeing himself in the video. He can see himself right there. That's little boy Jacob. We'll give it a shot. You know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and then I will redo it later. Yes, thank you to all who are saying nice things about him. Oh, they're asking how you are, Jacob. How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You're more than okay. You know, you're doing great. Let's see if you can be a very well disciplined and a nice young man and make it through an entire show, because this is actually an extremely important one. Up front, let me just make very clear that I'm going to be talking about things from the Bible today. It's different from obviously shows that we've done in the past, but it's important, not just from the perspective of, you know, what's happening and how should we be reacting, you know, not just as patriots, not just as Americans, but also as the faithful. How do we react to what's happening, what appears to be a very clear and blatant steal of the election? And the Bible does give us many answers, and I want to talk about this first, but I want to be very clear up front that, you know, there's going to be certain stories that are like, okay, guys, you know, we've got to remember to think like Joseph, think there's so many examples in the Bible of people who were persecuted, people who went through hard times. Now, does that mean that I'm signaling up? I'm giving up. We're about to have Joe Biden as president and it's all over. No, by no means. But I know there are a lot of people who feel that way. And this is why it's very important to discuss these topics, because some people will take this potentially as a sign of us needing to potentially lose faith. And we definitely shouldn't. Things are happening. They're wonderful things. They really are truly wonderful. Okay. We might look at it now and say, oh my gosh, this is so terrible. But as I'll get to, especially when we start talking about Gideon from the book of Judges, we will see that there's an extremely good potential that this can work out better than we could have ever scripted ourselves, even if we had total power over it, just as God does. But let's start with a couple of the obvious ones. The story of Joseph is one that I think is at least partially misunderstood. For those who don't know, I'll just go through a brief overview. Joseph was the son. yes, it's okay, Bubbles. It's okay. I know you're leaning forward. Joseph was put through a whole bunch of bad stuff. Okay, he was. You know, it started off terrible. You know, first he was the preferred son, one of the preferred sons, but then he was sold into slavery by his own brothers while living as a slave in Egypt. He had an opportunity to work his way up, basically, and he became very, very powerful, but then he was falsely accused of attempting to rape a powerful man's wife, and so he was thrown into jail for something that he didn't do. While in jail, he was given another opportunity to prophesy, to interpret dreams. And when he did, all he asked was that, hey, look, when these dreams come to pass, make sure that you mention to Pharaoh, hey, I can help. You just get me out of jail and I can help. Well, the dreams did come to pass, and the guy that he told tell Pharaoh just happened to forget for a couple of years. It was, yeah. Oh, yeah, that is funny. It is funny. Fast forward to where he is finally brought in to interpret dreams, and people think, oh, this is where the turning point, but it really wasn't. It seems like a turning point by our standards. It's like, okay, so he gets to interpret the dream. Pharaoh makes him the second most powerful man in the land. He's able to do this, that, or the other, and it's all wonderful, except it's not. You know, again, that's wonderful by our standards, perhaps, but not necessarily wonderful, yeah. And definitely not wonderful by his standards. He was still in a foreign land, in a pagan land. He still was forced to take on and work with people that he didn't like, people that had harmed him and his people who, you know, forced to marry a wife who was not of his people, have children who were halfway, not of his home people. Now, he did eventually, things did start to work out for him because, and not necessarily for him, he went through all these decades of sacrifice. But in the end, all of that was necessary in order for his family, his people, for the Hebrews to be able to escape famine and to survive. And we know, fast forward to the book, future books, fast forward to Moses, to the Exodus, fast forward all the way through. And yes, there was a lot of things that were happening, but God used his turmoil, his pain throughout his entire life as necessary in order to fulfill the plan. We have to keep that in mind because we are often, you know, I like to think of us very much like the Israelites during the time of the judges. Before that, you know, at that point, they kept saying, we need a king, we need a king, we need a king. God said, guys, you don't need a king. They're like, no, we need a king, we need a king, we need a king. They fought God's will on this. And so God said, fine, you guys want a king, pick a king. They picked out, you know, the tallest, handsomest guy they could find, Saul, made him the king, and it was horrible. But again, it was all part of God's plan, as we know now. One more story before I get to the important one. This is the story that I think this is really, and guys, I apologize. I know I don't have my Bible in front of me. Obviously, I'm holding a child instead of my Bible. So this is all coming from the top of my head, but I have a pretty decent recollection of these Bible stories. You have the one that I think is very pertinent today, because I think a lot of people are out there saying, you know, God's will is that President Trump is going to win re-election. We don't know that. Okay. We know that if God wills it, that President Trump will win re-election. And that's the attitude that we need to take. Okay. You look at Daniel's friends, okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were instructed to kneel before the pagan icon, this huge statue. No. You don't need... he was triggered by the Bible stories. They were told to kneel, to bow before the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had erected for himself. And they refused. And they said, I will throw you into the fiery pit if you don't do it. You know, and keep in mind, these were important men at the time. These were advisors to Nebuchadnezzar over the land of Babylon. But they said, look, you can threaten us. God can deliver us. We don't know if he will. Okay? We know that he can. But either way, whether he does or doesn't, we're not going to bow, and he will deliver us out of your hands. What they were insinuating was either he's going to protect us or he's not, and we're going to die. Either way, you know, you've lost us. You had us, you've lost us. And we have to remember that because, again, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what God is going to do. We don't know God's plan. Only he knows his plan, and his plan is perfect. We cannot say, you know, I see people out there saying that if God is in control, that Trump's going to win. Don't say stuff like that, okay? Or even saying God's in control and Trump's going to win as a result. You don't know what God has planned. Perhaps God's plan includes a apparent loss that I don't know, turns into Trump News Network, which then corrects mainstream media, exposes everything. Biden and everybody. Oh, there he goes. He's done. He's done with the show. Biden, everybody's exposed, you know, all these possible good things that can happen from it. I'm not, again, I want to be clear. I still am very, very confident. I would put it about between 85 and 90% confident that President Trump in the end is going to win the election. He just needed a drink. He's back. I do think this is the case. And I have a lot of reasons to believe this. We saw, I posted over Knock Report, it's going semi-viral right now, about how it's conspicuous that Justice Samuel Alito set the Pennsylvania date for them to respond to a petition filed with the Supreme Court, accepted and put on the docket by Alito from Mark Kelly, a representative Mark Kelly out of Pennsylvania. This contests the election. And it's conspicuous that the harbor, you know, the safe harbor date is December 8th. That's when supposedly things are, can't change it after that date, right? Not with the electors. But here's the thing. If you read what it says pertaining to safe harbor, it is required that all contests are handled and settled before that point. If there's a contest of the election that is still open and unsettled after the 8th, there is no safe harbor. The electors are still in question. Alito, you know, normally when you have a petition, especially an emergency petition as this was, filed with the Supreme Court, they usually give a very short period of time, 2 or 3 days, 4 days max. Okay, Alito gave them 5, 6 days, I think, actually. Technically 5. 5 full days to respond. And he conspicuously put it on December 9th as their response date. To me, I think I was arguably the first person to bring up this conspiracy theory that it's, you know, Alito is set a trap to leave things open, to extend the time for the Kraken or whatever you want to call it. Could be. Yeah, others picked up on it. Tim Pool, who I respect, not a Republican, guys. He's not a Republican, but he did come to the same basic conclusion. No. We're not going to be eating Fritos on air. No, you got away, Bubbles. Alito, yeah, Red State picked it up. Tim Pool picked it up. I think I saw something over at Legal Insurrection. I've seen a few different sites pick up the same basic idea. And that's not the only reason to be hopeful. As Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis have been pushing, state legislators still have the power. They can retake the power at any point, and they can and should. Okay, and it's not to say they will. Arizona's already said that they probably won't. You've got Pennsylvania basically saying that they may or may not. They're trying. Georgia has already indicated they won't. Guys, with this much shenanigans, blatant, clear, unambiguous voter fraud that happened, massive voter fraud, and more of it being revealed every day, for us to start to lose hope at this point is ridiculous. Is time waning? Absolutely. It's getting late. Okay. There's a reason for us to get, what is that? What was that? Oh, that was lint flying through the air. Focus on that. Focus on the lint, little boy. Just don't hit the mic. This was such a bad idea, but hey, we're going for it. Oh, don't touch that. Don't touch the mic. Okay. Okay. Look, what? There is a reason, many reasons for us to be hopeful, which brings me to the last, at least biblical component of this particular discussion. A story from the Old Testament, Book of Judges, chapters 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there. Story of Gideon. This is one of the least talked about and arguably the most important as it pertains to what we're seeing today. People are saying, oh my gosh, you know, you've got all these mainstream media outlets. Obviously, they haven't been on Trump's side, but you're seeing conservative outlets leave. Okay? Daily Caller has been debunking voter fraud from the beginning. Washington Examiner called on President Trump to concede 2 weeks ago. Okay, you've got some that I've respected. Daily Wire has it barely mentions voter fraud anymore. No. Such a good boy. We've got four kids, and this one is definitely the craziest of them all. He is such a blessing, but he's also a challenge, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Daily Wire has barely mentioned it. You know, you've got the Gateway Pundit, who does very well. You've got Breitbart, who does mostly well. Okay, but a lot of conservative sites are leaving. A lot of staunch conservatives are saying, look, guys, we gotta face the music. You know, I forgot who it was. I think it was Will Chamberlain, who I respect, who said, you know, this is, again, over a week ago. He was saying, you know, we cannot be waiting for some deus ex machina to come along and change things for us. Actually, we can and we should. I wouldn't say expect it, but we should believe that it's possible. We have to believe that it's possible. And that's why I bring up the story of Gideon. For those who don't know, Gideon was you know, when you say God's holy warriors, holy leaders, bless you. We usually think of King David or Moses or any of those places. Yeah, you remember we talked about King David. All those people. Gideon was one of the originals. Gideon was one of the originals. Okay. Gideon was a leader. He was a judge. And he was instructed by the angel of the Lord to attack the Midianites. He was told, you know, go ahead and gather an army. And he did. And there were, as I recall, 32,000 men that came from the various tribes. And they came together. And, you know, this was a big army. Still small compared to the army that they would have to fight. But it was substantial. And God looked at it and said, you know what? If we go in there with 32,000 men, then this isn't going to necessarily be a miracle, at least in the eyes of everybody. Because, yes, the army that we'll be fighting is much bigger, better prepared, you know. But still, there's going to be an opportunity there for people to start thinking, you know, they won because they were better fighters, because they had better strategy, because they had better leaders, or whatever. So he's like, you know, we need to diminish this. So he instructed Gideon to go ahead and reduce the numbers. And he said, you know, first, send home anybody who doesn't want to be here, okay? Pick out a bunch of people who don't want to be here and, you know, ask them if they don't want to fight, then they can go. And he made the announcement, and out of the 32,000, about 22,000 left. And so there's 10,000 left. And God's like, that's still too much. Okay. We need to make sure that everybody knows going forward that this victory was a victory by God. So go ahead and take the men down to the river, he said, and have them drink. And anyone who, you know, separate them into two groups, okay? Group one would be the men who bend down to the river and lap up the water like dogs, okay? Put their mouth to the river. And group two will be men that cup their hands and bring the water up to their faces. And approximately 300 men, oddly, bent down and lapped up the water like dogs. And he said, all right, Gideon, those are your men. Send everybody else home. So they had 32,000 men. God diminished it down to 300 to take on an army that some say was in the millions. It's funny because there's that people, when you talk about the valiant 300, people often think of the Spartans at the Battle of the Thermopylae or wherever. I forgot where it was. Not big on my my Greek history, but. Yeah, those are the 300. You know, technically speaking, it was probably more like about 1,500. And it was, you know, the Zack Snyder movie. The Zack Snyder movie was very poetic in its interpretations, which is what Hollywood does. But the biblical story of Gideon taking 300 men to fight a massive Midianite army, they were able to get in there and they were able to win, not with the sword. Actually won with shofars and candles. It's a great story. You should check it out. Again, Judges 6 through 10. But the point I'm making is, let's say Rudy Giuliani goes through and, you know, last week the Kraken's released and Sidney Powell goes to the Supreme Court and they start knocking out Georgia, and then Rudy Giuliani, is able to take out Arizona and Nevada and the guys over in Pennsylvania, Mark Kelly, they're able to invalidate Pennsylvania. And then, you know, everybody will be saying, look, this is just good lawyering. You know, good thing that we had the best attorneys on our side. The way that things are going, the way that things have been looking the last few days, going into what I consider to be crunch time week, a lot of people, including Jay Sekulow, one of the lawyers working with the Trump team, Jay Sekulow said on Friday that at this point it's going to take a miracle, and it is. And that's a wonderful thing. If the miracle happens, praise God. Because at this stage, and again, I'm still at 85 to 90% sure, but now when it happens, nobody's going to be there saying, oh my gosh, you know, this was just impressive clerks for Jenna Ellis made this happen. No, more and more people will realize, wow, this really was the Lord's will. And we have to be hoping for that. But more importantly, we have to be praying for that. Because otherwise, if we don't push forward, if we stop fighting, if we start pretending like, you know, we were cheated, but it's, you know, we'll get them next time, that's the wrong approach. There's a song by, what's her name? Oh, everybody knows this. I don't listen to much pop music. Is it Carrie Underwood? I think is her name. Carrie Underwood. There's a song, catchy song, Jesus Take the Wheel. You know, but it always kind of made me cringe a bit because that's not how it works, guys. Okay? It's not, you don't throw your hands up and say, I have nothing to do with anything anymore. Just, I'm going to let God take care of it. That's not how it works. Keep your hands on the wheel. And then pray that God takes care of it with you, through Rudy Giuliani, through whoever, through some random person who was chosen to show the video that shows, you know, Joe Biden talking to George Soros or something. I don't know. I don't know what is going to manifest. I'm excited. I am very excited to see what takes place this next week and maybe even longer past that. And if nothing happens, will I be personally disappointed from a secular human perspective? Absolutely. But I also do have faith in God's plan, regardless of what happens with this election. I was kind of lambasted a few weeks ago by a friend, former pastor, who's now, he's still a man of God, but just not, he's not with the cloth. But he was saying, look, you're putting too much emphasis on the election. I know, but man, that's what I can do. That's where we can fight. You know, it's, you're pushing for revival. That's great. I would love for that to happen. I would like to participate in that. But right now, the person, to me, in my limited understanding of the world, the person who is most likely to allow for revival to take place because of protections of the First Amendment and our religious rights would be President Trump. You know, I don't think that Joe Biden is going to necessarily be able to stop us, and obviously he cannot stop God's will, but he's going to try and he's going to make it harder. And maybe that's what we have to face. But until it's over, it's not over. I know it because, again, I do have faith. There is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if God wills it, then we will be delivered. One way or the other, we're going to be delivered. Does that mean President Trump is going to win? I think so. But I don't know the future. Does that mean that if he loses, everything's going to fall apart? I don't think so. But I don't know the future. All I know is this. We keep fighting. We keep believing. We don't go out there and invoke, you know, Trump is going to win because God's going to make him win. Okay, how dare you? I would rather you say Trump's not going to win than to start declaring what God is going to do. God will do what God does. Let's go to questions. We'll start from the bottom up. I'll catch up to the top. There's been a bunch, apparently. DeWill, the Cubs fan, asks, what if God's plan is to have Joe Biden in office? I think that's possible. Okay? I think that that could very well be God's plan. We know there's going to be tribulation. Maybe it starts now. Maybe it starts with Joe Biden in the office. We will see. Do you believe there's massive fraud? That's obviously. I would say that if you don't believe there was massive fraud, then you're not paying enough attention. Let's see. MSN is about teams and clients, so they can't fairly cover any real important stories. True. Very true. Thank you. Be positive. Like that name. You think God can't complete his plan without Trump? No, of course not. I haven't said that at all. And this is Casey putting words in my mouth. What is this? That's an evil spirit supporting Trump. Okay, yeah. No, I never said that. I don't believe that at all. I think that Trump, whether he's part of the plan or not, I mean, he's already been part of some plan. So, I mean, that's why he is where he is. If he's supposed to continue, he'll continue. If he's supposed to do something else, he'll do something else. If he's supposed to do nothing, he'll do nothing else. We'll see. Let's see. I like this. Again, from Be Positive, Trump waiting for the whites of their eyes, a la Washington, of course. I think he will do it last minute, so MSN can't spin. That's definitely a possibility. I pray that God Almighty allow all to be exposed and help reverse the evil being done. And that's important. You know, it's important that we pray properly. You know, pray for it. People say, you know, if you're putting it to God's will, then praying, if you pray for against God's will, then that's wrong. No, you can still pray for what you hope for. You can still pray for President Trump or pray against President Trump. You can still pray against America if you want to. Our prayers, people look at our prayers as if they're supposed to be answered. No, these, our prayers, think about more along the lines of our prayers. They are saved. They are taken and collected in the book of prayers of the vials or whatever you want to call. Jacob. Thank you. Such a good boy. Maybe I spoke too soon. Yes. Yeah, we don't pray so that for the sake of getting our prayers, you know, answered or hoping for this blessing or that blessing. Okay, prayers first and foremost should be reverence to God, worship of God. That is the primary purpose of prayer. Listen, read any of Daniel's prayers. Okay, the prayer when Daniel was granted a night vision that told him what Nebuchadnezzar's dream. What his dream, how to interpret it. You know, he blessed God. And I think that caught a lot of people by surprise, you know, that what is a man blessing God? Shouldn't men be asking for blessings? Well, yes and no. Number one, sometimes no. You know, sometimes asking for blessings of certain things isn't a good idea. Okay? But if we're going to move forward and really have conversations with the Lord, this is how we do it. We pray and we seek guidance. We seek to understand what our part in the plan is. It's pretty straightforward. Let's see. People are yawning. I guess he was yawning a lot. Your yawns are already affecting people on the live stream, my son. Okay, good. Oh, yeah, there's some pretty ugly stuff in there, too. There is. Great. Final. We'll end with this. MMB says, good versus evil is bigger than this election. Amen. Brother or sister? I can't tell. I think it's a sister. But I can't tell. It's a little itty bitty. Whether you are a man or a woman, thank you. Amen. This is. And what Trump has. has done is awaken so many people. He has exposed me. You know, I don't trust anything they say. If you're watching today, did you know that George Soros, yes, the one who can't be spoken, his name can't be said on Fox News, George Soros today announced that his Open Society Foundation, this neo-Marxist organization that's bent on basically bringing socialism across the world with open borders, it's a legitimately evil organization, huge, massive, massively powerful. These are the organizations that help to bankroll Black Lives Matter and Antifa, not just here in the United States. They are, their tentacles are across the world. This is what, this falls under the category of you just can't make this up. So his the president of Open Society stepped down apparently today, allegedly today. And so Soros replaced him with Lord Mark Malik Brown. If that name sounds familiar, you've probably been looking into Smartmatic at some point. Mark Malik Brown was CEO of Smartmatic. Smartmatic, of course, is the company whose software and even parts of their hardware were sold to Dominion Voting Systems and are still in use today. This is the organization that the Philippine government directly went after, and many activist groups flat out blamed them for rigging their elections. And it's happened across the world. And now, today, Lord Mark Malik Brown was named the new president of Open Society. They are openly mocking us, folks. Mainstream media won't cover it. We've learned a lot. We've gained a lot of ground over the last 4 years, not just from a political perspective. As a matter of fact, more so, I would say, from an awakening perspective, from the idea of understanding the necessity of our faith, realizing that this may very well be near or at the end times. People are waking up. They really are. Meanwhile, there's a strong delusion that's also covering the other people. People that ask questions like, do you really believe there was widespread voter fraud? Those of us who see it, it's like, yes, it's right there. It's plain as day. It's obvious. Okay? It is, if you're going to buy Georgia's official statement that there was nothing odd about sending everybody home, the observers and press at 10:20 in the evening on election night, it's telling them that you're going to pick up voting again at 8:30, and then once they leave, pull out boxes of previously unseen ballots and start counting them for 2.5 hours. If you see nothing wrong with that, there's nothing. Nothing will convince you, okay? You could have Joe Biden stare into a camera and say, you know, we built the most diverse and inclusive voter fraud organization in history. You could have him say that to you directly, and you'll still be like, oh, no, that was just, that's not what he meant. He was talking about a voter fraud discovering, it's just Joe. He was just Joe doing Joe. That's just Joe. You also probably see nothing wrong with him apparently trying to grab a dog's tail while naked in the shower. That, nothing there. Odd stuff, folks. But stay hopeful. Keep praying. Keep fighting. This isn't over yet, even if it is over to some of you. Keep fighting. You don't believe me at the 85, 90%? Are you at 10%? Keep fighting. You're 1%? Oh, you think it's going to take a miracle? Great. Keep fighting. Keep spreading the truth. Once it's over, okay, we can talk. We can talk about next steps. But all these, I see people saying, oh, Trump's talking about 2024. I'll block you if I see that. Okay. I don't want to hear about 2024 until 2020 is over. Keep fighting. Just keep fighting. And I got to feed the boy. This is the second bag of chips that he's gone for. You're not eating chips for dinner. No, no, no. Garden salsa. 100% whole grain. No, no, not good for dinner. We're going to get you some chicken. How's that sound? No? We'll get him the chicken. Lord willing, I will be back very soon with another episode, with or without my co-host. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.